Well, I'm just being obedient to the Lord. I feel that Wendy has a word to give. You know, the Lord just says, you're not preaching this week. Or he told me that 3 weeks ago, and I said, Wendy, you have a word. And then God told me somebody else has a word for the church. So maybe that'll be next time we gather. But I believe God is speaking to his people, and not just through pastors. There are fivefold ministry, right? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and even through us individually, he's speaking.
Amen.
And we need to listen. The world is in chaos. The church is in chaos. But God is speaking to his people.
That's right.
And out of the ashes emerges this beautiful bride. And I want to encourage the bride to shine. And so we need to hear what the Lord is saying to the church. And the best way to do that is just to let the members of the church speak, those who are anointed and appointed to speak. So, Wendy, the Lord bless you. I know you're going to pray yourself, so come on up. It's out of Philippians, right? Is it out of Philippians? Okay, so turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to focus on Philippians 1, the first 11 verses. Verses 1 to 11. More specifically, 9 to 11. Before we pray, I want to give you a little bit of background of this letter. Okay. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. Okay. And you can read about it in the book of Acts, in Acts 16. On Paul's second missionary journey, he went to Philippi. And an amazing thing happened when he was there. The church in Philippi was birthed. So there was a woman named Lydia, and it describes her in the word as a God worshiper, but she didn't know Jesus. And when Paul was preaching Christ crucified, because that's what he did, preaching the gospel, God opened up her heart, and she got born again. And the church was started in Philippi in her house. So this was Paul's first journey to Philippi. Okay, and other things happened there as well. That's when the jailer and all his household got saved and baptized. Okay, also there was a girl who with a spirit of witchcraft who was bugging Paul, and he turned around and cast it out. I love that one. And also really early on, Paul and the church started to be persecuted in Philippi right off the bat. Because why? They were preaching the gospel. Okay. So then later, Paul goes back to Philippi to encourage the church. Okay, this is the mission of the apostles. This is an apostle, a church planter, okay, who plants churches and then goes around and encourages the churches that he planted. So later Paul goes back. Okay, so then years later, I think it's probably around 10 years later, Paul's in prison in Rome. Okay, that's very important. He's in chains, in prison, in bondage. Why? Because he's been preaching the gospel. Okay, and he writes this letter to the church in Philippi. Okay, while he's in prison. All right. Okay, so I'm going to pray and then we're going to start. Lord, we thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are Lord of this church. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would work and move in all of our hearts this morning as your word goes forth. We ask that you would bring an encouragement. We ask that you would bring a strength. We ask that you would build us up. And we ask that you would bring a conviction on your church, on the church of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would move, Holy Spirit, and you would remove everything that is hindering us from a desire to know Christ more and to make him known. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Holy Spirit, you would move in our hearts, that you would give us a heart like Jesus who loved his church, and you would give us a heart like Paul who has a love for the saints. Specifically, the saints in Philippi in this particular word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would put a love in our hearts for the body of Christ. That you would just well up in us a joy in knowing you and a joy in seeing how you work and move in your church. And that would cause us to praise God. That would cause us to just pray with thanksgiving and with joy for the Church of Jesus Christ. And I just want to declare over this body, every saint in Christ right now this morning, that there would be an impartation of intercession. That there would be an impartation of just a welling up and a desire like never before to pray for the Church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you would show us this morning through your word, what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that look like according to your word? In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read the first 11 verses of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all of you, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're just going to go through the first part fairly quickly, because I want to really focus us on the prayer of Paul in verses 9 to 11. So really, again, Paul is writing this letter to the saints, okay, holy ones, God's people, those who are set apart in Philippi, those who are in Christ Jesus. That's who he's writing the letter to. And it's just interesting to me that he makes a point of including the overseers and the deacons. He makes a point of including the pastors, the elders, the helpers, the leadership. And he just does a blessing to the saints, to the church in his letter. Of grace. He said, grace to you and peace. Okay, favor, kindness from God, and rest and quietness from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and then in verse 3, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy, okay, in my every prayer for all of you, with joy, with gladness, with cheerfulness, with delight. This is how he's praying. You can just imagine, here he is, he's in prison, in chains, he's thinking about this church that he planted, okay, and he's thinking about the church, he's thinking about the people with joy, and he's praying for them with joy, and he's just, you can just picture that, he's overwhelmed. Okay, do we pray for one another like that? Do we think of one another like that? Hey, this is one of the things I really believe that there's going to be an impartation from the Holy Spirit of just a rising up, a desire for everyone here to really pray like this for one another, pray like this for the Church of Jesus Christ. So every time that Paul thinks about them, every time he remembers the saints in Philippi, what does he do? He thanks God and he prays with them with joy. Now, why does he do this? Well, he says it in verse 5. Here's the answer. He says, in view of, or because of your participation in the gospel. Okay? So he is praying like this, thanking God with joy because they've got saved, they've got born again, and what are they doing? They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's just thinking about this, how they're preaching, they're partnering with him in the gospel. From the first day that they got saved till he's writing this letter, this is what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And this is bringing him joy, and this is causing him to thank God. There's like a that word participation means fellowship, okay, or partnership. So there's a true fellowship, a true partnership between him and the saints in Philippi, just like us. So those of us who are in Christ, okay, there is a true fellowship, a true partnership, okay, a unity in Christ, a unity that brings us together that can only come from the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not just a getting together,
right?
Okay, gathering together. Okay, it's not. There has to be a union with Christ and a union brought together by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you can think about that. Okay, when we gather together, okay, and there is a unity in Christ, okay, when there's a like-mindedness, when we're all together and we have the same purpose, and that's to know Christ and to make him known and to share the gospel and see people get free and healed and see them like just becoming more and more like Jesus and living their life for the Lord. Okay, what happens? You're full of joy, right? It happens so many times. It happens here. It happens in the house churches when we gather, when we're together, maybe a few of us, when in the prayer room. Like, it just brings such a joy, right? And this is I want to encourage you to read the whole book, okay? Because honestly, this is how I entitled it. It's a letter of joy. When you go through it, okay, and now when you read the book of Philippians, you are going to see, Holy Spirit's going to highlight all this, like, joy. Okay, so I'm not going to say the scriptures. I'm just going to read a few things, okay? So Paul rejoices that Christ is preached, okay? He has a heart to help the saints in Philippi grow and experience the joy of their faith in who? Christ. The only one who brings us joy. Faith in Christ. Joy comes from faith in Christ alone. Okay? Everything else is, well, maybe we might be happy about things, but he's the only one that brings joy. He tells them, the Philippians, that his joy is made complete when they are like-minded, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, and intent on one purpose. Okay? He says, no matter what he's experiencing, no matter what he's going through, okay, remember he's in prison, no matter what he's going through, he rejoices. Okay, and he desires to share his joy with them, and he urges them to do the same, to share their joy with him, okay, with each other. Isn't that awesome? Okay, he talks about the joy in receiving help from the Philippian church. So this is, I was thinking about this when you, when Shelley, you and Kim were, when you were sharing. Okay, one of the things that causes Paul to praise God for the Philippian church and to just have such a joy is that they partner with him in sharing the gospel. But when he was in prison, they were also the believers, the church that met his needs. They sent gifts to him on a regular basis, and even says no one else really did, but you did. As the church grew, the Philippian church, more and more, they met the needs of Paul. And then, you know, all through, he says, rejoice. Again, I say it again, rejoice. I rejoiced in the Lord. I greatly rejoice, right? And really his heart in saying all of that is because he says that we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Okay, so hopefully you can catch that joy, that, you know, this being a letter of joy. So now, as a result of all that, as a result of thinking about the Philippians, they're preaching the gospel, they're sharing in help in Paul's ministry. Okay, they're growing in the Lord, and there's such a joy there, and he's praising God, he's praying for them with joy. He makes this declaration in verse 6. Okay, and he says, "For I am confident." He's convinced. Paul is convinced of this, that this very thing, that he, who's he, God, okay, who began a good work within you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay, he is convinced, okay, that God started a work in them. I am convinced that God started a work in you. Okay, and I'm convinced that God is going to complete that work. He's going to continue with that work, and he's going to finish that work. And when is he going to be done that work? When Jesus comes, right? So what's a good work? Okay, I asked the Lord this. I was like, I spent 2 days on this. Anyway, so I could sum it up in one sentence. It's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's the holiness. It's becoming holy. It's being made more and more into the likeness of Christ. Okay, and this is the key in Paul's prayer in the verses 9 to 11. Okay, so then he says, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart." He says, "You have a special place in my heart," I think it's in the NLT. "Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me." So like Paul, the believers have received favor, they receive help from the Lord to share the gospel, okay? And like Paul, they are and have suffered for the sake of Christ, okay? And like I said, as the church grew, it became one of the strongest supporters of Paul's ministry. And you can read about that in the rest of Philippians. If you read the book, there's a number of scriptures about that. Okay, and then he says this is amazing. "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus."
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the message, it goes like this. "He knows how much I love you and miss you these days. Sometimes I think I feel as strongly about you as Christ does."
Wow.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Because is that
our heart? That's verse 8.
Thank you.
Do we think about each other like that? You know, when we're not together, we can't wait to see each other and we miss each other. Okay, and we love each other, and we just, there's, like, honestly, we feel strongly towards each other as Christ does towards us. I mean, in Ephesians 5, Paul uses similar language, right? And he's talking to husbands. "Love your wives as Christ loved the church." Love your wives as Christ loves the church. I often say to people that I'm working with, to women, and to say, you know, we all cannot love anyone, okay, unless we love Jesus.
Right.
We can't know the love of Christ unless we love Jesus. Husbands, you can't love your wives unless you love Jesus. And you can't love Jesus unless you know him.
Right.
This is why Paul says, don't be unequally yoked. Because if somebody doesn't love Jesus, they're not going to be able to. They will not be able to love you like Jesus loves you. Okay? So out of all this, everything that I've just said, Paul prays this prayer. Okay? He's praying for the spiritual growth of the church. Okay? And I pray that you will receive this. Okay? I thought about Philippians 3. And I really want to encourage you, if you haven't already, you need to read Mike's devotional, Philippians 3, in 13 and 14, Paul talks about pressing on.
Right.
Pressing on to know Christ more and leaving everything behind so that he can know Christ more. And that's how we need to be. willing to allow Holy Spirit to work in us and leave everything behind so that we can know Christ more. Right? And in verse 17 in Philippians 3:17, Paul says, join in my example.
Right.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's join in his example. All right, so I'm going to read this prayer, verses 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Okay, I want to read it in the message now. So this is my prayer, that your love may flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so I want to just unpack this a little bit, all right? So the first question, so this love that Paul is praying to abound, which means to be in excess, to overflow, to be more than enough, to greatly surpass. I mean, this is what he's praying, okay, that their love would abound, okay? And he's not merely praying that their love will abound, but that their love would become more and more rich, or that it would grow in knowledge and discernment. Okay, so he's praying for a love that is rooted in the knowledge of Christ.
Right.
And discernment of his ways and his will. That's what he's praying, that kind of love. Right. So really, like knowledge, what knowledge means is understanding. Okay, wisdom. Okay, it's a gift that's given to us. Okay, but it's very clear in Colossians, when if you read, you can write this down. Colossians 1:29-2:3. Okay, really in there, Paul is sort of expressing his heart and his desire for the church to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Okay. Christ himself. And I'm just going to read, this is his heart, okay? And he wants them to be encouraged, and he says they're knit together in love, and he says that he wants them to attain the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, so having knowledge, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Okay, so this is not our own knowledge or knowledge of the world, or I want to understand things or go up in my... This is knowledge, understanding, knowing Christ himself. Okay, and the more that we know Christ, okay, the more that we will love him.
Right, right.
Okay, and the more that we have the possibility and the power of the Holy Spirit to love like him. Okay, this is the kind of love that Paul is praying for the church. Now, just to really encourage you, maybe exhort you, strong encouragement. Okay, so this doesn't come by just like walking around and, you know, going, well, you know, give this to me. Okay, this comes from being in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to really be it under the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's the Spirit of truth. He's the one that gives revelation of the Word. We need to be in the Word, studying the Word, spend time with the Lord in the Word. Be in the Word, people. Okay? Study it. Pray it. Ask the Lord to show you what it means. Really, like, get into it. Okay, and submitting to faithful teaching. Okay, faithful teaching.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, one of the things that Paul, in the letter, he does warn, okay, the Philippian church about false teachers. And, okay, how many times do we need to say this? Right? There are many false teachers, false pastors, false prophets around along there. Okay, we need discernment. Okay, we need discernment. Okay, so this is the next thing, discernment. What is that? So this is the kind of love, a love that's rooted and grounded in the knowledge of Christ, okay, with all discernment of his ways and his will. So being able to distinguish, being able to decide, being able to judge well what is from the Lord, what is not, what is good, what is evil, what is his way, what is not his way. There's a bombardment of all kinds of things coming, okay, all the time, every day. Okay, and we need discernment, and it's a gift, and I want to encourage you because it says it's a gift in 1 Corinthians 12:10. Okay, you need to ask for it. Okay, ask for it. Okay, ask for more. If you have discernment, ask for more. Okay, ask for the gift of discernment. Really, we need discernment. We need to be able to know what the Lord is saying, and we need to know whether it's from him. Okay, and I came across a verse. I want to read it because I love it. It's in Hebrews 5:14. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature.
Right.
Who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome? We have to practice it. We want to get trained. We want to grow in discernment, right? So we need it. We need it because we're surrounded by the temptations of the world, of evil. We live in a world where the principles of God, like they're considered
wrong,
yeah, like illegal and immoral and unloving, the principles of God. Okay, the world does not operate at all in any way in accordance with the gospel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. And also our own natures, we ourselves are still, we're holy, but we're being made holy. So we're still being sanctified. So there may be some things still there that we can ask Holy Spirit to show and work out, right? So, you know, the things have to be tested. Okay? We have to prove what is right. Okay, according to the word of God, we need to be careful and watchful and discriminating. So we need this. We need this discernment. We need this kind of love. Okay. Okay, so I just felt to write this. It's more like a question with an answer. You know, what does love look like without knowledge? Okay, and discernment. Okay. Because sometimes when we ask those things, it helps us to know, okay, what does love with knowledge of Christ and discernment of his ways look like, right? And I just wrote here, it makes decisions based on what others and perhaps ourselves want and feel. Okay, it's shallow. It's superficial. It's usually a dishonest love. Okay, it's a kind of love that doesn't like hard questions, and it loves the approval of others, like people pleasing. Okay, but this kind of love that Paul is praying for the church, okay, a love that's rooted and grounded in the knowledge of Christ, okay, and discernment of his will and his ways, okay, this is the kind of love that's wise and discerning and not afraid to stand for truth. Not afraid to preach Christ crucified, no matter what. Okay, not afraid to look different from the world. Not afraid to ask the tough questions. Not afraid to be persecuted. Not afraid to even lose our life for Christ. Okay, it's a love that comes only from abiding in Christ. And some of you men who are at the Bible study, I know that you studied John 15 yesterday. It's a love that speaks truth according to the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's a love that leads people to and not away from Christ. okay? Leads people to and not away from Christ. A love that doesn't tell people what they want to hear, but what they need to hear.
Right.
Okay. It's a love that desires to see people free and saved and free and healed and standing, remaining pure
right.
and blameless and righteous when Christ returns.
Right.
Okay, so Paul says this twice in these 11 verses, okay, until the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus. So his heart and our heart needs to be for the church of Jesus Christ. We're going to make it. Okay, like when Jesus comes back, are we going to be standing pure, holy, blameless before him? Are we going to be ready? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be a church that looks like that? Okay, well, God is doing the work, as we know from the word, right? But people, let's be really praying like this for each other. Let's step up the prayers, right? Let's really pray like this with this heart for one another.
Well, that's why God told us to, that phrase, I love you too much to let you stay in your sin.
Right.
Right.
That's right. I love you too much to allow you to stay in your stronghold, to stay in your sin. So I'm going to tell you the truth. Right? Okay. And the Lord put something on my heart. I know this is for probably, like this is for a very number of you in this room. Okay, he put on my heart to say that those of you who are speaking and standing in truth, because some of you are speaking and standing in truth, okay, and losing relationships as a result of it, because you're taking a stand for Christ, because you've decided, okay, that you are going to follow him, okay? And you're going to be obedient to him no matter what. Those of you who are losing relationship, the Lord wants you to know, okay, that he is the one who is going to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen you and strengthen you and strengthen you so that you will be able to continue. And he is going to fill you. And even now, I pray that you would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, to continue, no matter what. Okay, and the Lord has put that on my heart to share. Okay, so Paul is praying that they would have this love that's rooted and grounded in knowledge and discernment. Okay, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. So I thought about that word approve. Okay, it's like things come your way. Oh, yeah, okay, no, I approve that. Yeah, check. You know, that's right, that's correct. I approve that, right? Okay, but there's many things that come, probably more things than that we approve as go, no, I'm not receiving that. I'm not receiving that. I'm not listening to that, okay? So what Paul is praying is that so that out of this love, right kind of love, they will be able to prove, okay, the things that are excellent, the things that matter,
yes.
Right? Well, Paul, there's part of that in Philippians 4. Think about things, like he, in
right.
the remedy for anxiety, he said, think about things that are pure and right and praiseworthy and trustworthy and true and excellent, right? And then peace comes. Really, all those things are Jesus. Think about Jesus.
Yes.
Meditate on Jesus. Meditate on who he is. Meditate on his promises. Meditate on the word. Okay, this is what Paul is praying. Okay, and also, then he prays. He prays that in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So what's he doing? He's praying for the church that they will become more and more like Christ. They will develop more and more of a Christ-likeness, and he points out two things, sincere, which means pure.
Right.
Okay. And you know, you think of it, when something is held up to the light, okay? Okay, if it's not pure, what happens? You see all the stuff. right? But if it's pure, okay, there's no fault, there's no flaws. The light comes right through, okay? And this is the essence of this part of the prayer, that we would be pure. So, you know, like I said, ask Holy Spirit to remove the impurities, right? The things that, like we were studying A Heart Like His, David, A Heart Like His, in Psalm 19, David's praying this. You know, show me my flaws, my errors, my hidden sins, you know, my faults.
He will.
Show me, you know, because really, like, this is an ongoing thing, because this is what we want. Christ is light, and he's in us, and we want him to shine through us, out of us, so that the world sees Christ. That's why we want to be pure. We want to have that heart and pray for one another for that. So there's no falsehood. There's no hidden motives. Okay, we're pure. Okay, blameless, which is faultless, without offense. Okay, not led into sin. That's what that means. Okay, especially in the Psalms, you know, Paul talks about being above, David talks about being above reproach, which means blameless. So if we're, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're loving Christ, we're seeking Christ, we're becoming more and more like him, okay? We're not walking in some known, like, sin that we're deciding that we're just going to stay there, okay? And people come along and they make false accusations about us or blame us, okay? Okay, they got nothing, right? Okay, and the last part, the last verse there. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And I just believe this is what Paul is saying, okay, is that we are filled. We've been imputed when we get saved the righteousness of Christ, okay, when we get saved, okay? And then we want to live a life, okay, that looks like we belong to Jesus, right? We want to live a right life, a life that is pleasing to God. Want to live the way of God. Those are the fruits, the deeds, the acts of the saints, the righteous acts and deeds of the saints, okay? Which really, I mean, back to the reason why Paul is thanking God, why he has so much joy, why he's just released this amazing prayer over the churches, because what are they doing? They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're living their life for Jesus, right? Because that's the whole thing. At the very end, to the glory and praise of God, is that all of this is for what? So that our lives will bring glory to God, period. We want to lift up Christ. We want to know him. We want to make him known. We want our lives to bring glory to God. Not to ourselves, not to anyone else, nothing else, only Christ. He's the only one who matters. That's where we're going to get to. So I want to finish by praying for you. Okay? Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our hearts to a deeper revelation of your word and your truth in this prayer of Paul. And Lord, that we just thank you this morning for putting on our hearts more of a desire to pray like this for the Church of Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We say, Holy Spirit, come. Come and take your place in our hearts. Come and take your place as Lord of your church. We ask that you would put in each and every one of us a desire to know Christ more, yes, and to become more like him. We ask, Lord, that you would put in us a love for Jesus and a love for his church, mm-hmm, like never before. That we would not leave here the same. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal any hindrance.
Thank you,
so that we will become more and more like Jesus. Pure, blameless. And Lord, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ. I just pray for each one of us that Jesus, when you return, that we will stand pure and blameless before you. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are rising up your church to pray like this for one another, to have this kind of love and desire for one another, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for everything that you have spoken to us this morning and everything that you have done in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.